close that the trash was sitting.
Okay, are we ready?
Yep.
Let's get this party started. It is 9 o'clock. It's a public safety meeting. All committee members are present, as well as administration staff. Acknowledge that the press and public have been notified. This meeting, the Freedom of Information Act. Next item on the agenda is approval of previous month's minutes.
So moved.
Second.
We do have a...
Ryan, could you speak up for the deaf?
Yes, I'm trying to find your email right now. The we need to make an amendment.
That all citizens be included, not just residents of that portion.
Let me see if I can find it.
I'm trying to look too.
I'm having email problems. I can't pull my email up on my phone. I'm in my stuff computer.
I can forward that to Nicole, and for her to make the
adjustments.
There was a
I need to amend the minutes as because Mr. Smiley pointed out there's certain points of where he had spoke at the last meeting, and he just needed to change the street from I think it says from 10th, but it's actually 4th to Inlet Way. So go ahead and make those more.
Okay. You'll send it to me.
Yeah,
then
we have it. That is actually the amendment.
Okay.
So that's a motion to amend the amendments as changed.
Mm-hmm. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor of the original motion as amended?
Aye.
Okay. Moving on to citizens' comments. Floor is open to citizens. And come on forward. State your name and address, and we will.
I'll be brief. I don't need a chair. I'm Susan Page.
Yes, ma'am.
5 Forest Trail, Court 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just want to continue to talk about the dilapidated structures amendment. I was planning to go to the city council meeting a couple of weeks ago and check the agenda and didn't see anything on there about the issue, so I didn't go. Hopefully, yeah. I didn't miss anything. But I wanted to know the status of the ordinance changes and just not let this issue die. So much momentum has been lost. You know, I've been coming for months now, and it seemed like we were getting somewhere, and I just don't want it to fizzle out. I keep talking to my neighbors and other people that have the same concern, but quite frankly, everybody says, oh, they're not going to do anything. I'm tired of going to the meetings. I'm just not going to go anymore. Well, I'm not going to stop coming because I care about this, not just because of my immediate situation, but as a whole for the island and for all the residents. I just feel like we just have to have some teeth in the ordinances to be able to preserve the safety and other issues that can be addressed by this ordinance. So I'm just trying to keep it alive and find out where things stand now.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. It's on our agenda. Anybody else with those comments? Moving on. Old business. A, consideration of ordinance 2019-16, ordinance to establish new standards for dilapidated structures. Miss Page was just referring to. I don't know if y'all have been by there, and you may be able to update us on it as well, but I know the homeowner has been making some changes over there and trying to update his structure, or trying to, I don't want to say bring it into, you know, compliance, but he's at least trying to make some changes to it. We are still waiting on some information. Go ahead.
I just want to highlight the changes to the red line ordinance that's included in your packet. It mm-hmm. hasn't really changed much,
yeah,
other than addressing the 2 points that came out of the discussion last month, which related to whether or not we could use an existing section of the code
mm-hmm.
to address mildew, excessive mildew and mold. And we did discuss that with the city attorney. She advised us that we could not use that section and apply it to that issue. She recommended some language to the ordinance in order to be able to address excessive mildew and mold, and that is included in purple in your red line. The other item that was brought up by the committee last month was related to homes that are damaged and may look dilapidated as a result of an emergency, a storm, and whatnot. There's an addition to that section of the ordinance included in your red line today for discussion and consideration.
And you also added to be safe, not just clean.
Correct. I think that that was included in a previous version of the ordinance.
Purple.
Well, I think it's time to take some action and move it forward to council.
Absolutely.
Okay. The, we're trying to get some information. I'm not, Chief, I don't know if you've had the opportunity to speak with the homeowner recently. I know they wanted to schedule a meeting, and I know they're waiting on some numbers and statistics and stuff like that.
Correct. We were just coming back online, so we just got some statistics. I wanted to meet with them after I got that information.
Correct.
So I just got it last week. I'll be reaching out this week to schedule a meeting with them.
Okay.
So Ryan, is it? I think there's two issues. One is there's a homeowner. I would suggest we look at this independent of that, because, you know, at any point in time, a homeowner can be fixing one that's not compliant to what we're trying to pass, right? So I would hope that we're not pacing the timeline by what this homeowner does, because, frankly, I think we've done that enough. So I don't know if the suggestion is let's wait and hear from the homeowner, but
right.
if there's something we can move forward, because I don't like hearing that we're losing momentum. I don't think we're losing momentum. It's just a painful process to get through the government. And if we think this is the right thing to do, I think we ought to move it forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just trying to, I know that they've reached out to us and trying to get some information.
Yeah, and they sent us all emails as well, but that's it's been a long time.
Well, I'm surprised, it's a little off the subject, but it relates to it. I'm surprised that the insurance company hasn't said anything to them. That's none of our business, but, you know, I got a letter from my insurance company that said I had a little bit of algae on the north side of my house and fix it.
You tell them it's the north side.
It was the north side. Yeah, I mean, but that's none of our concern. I just think we need to go forward, but I'm surprised that his insurance company hadn't contacted him.
Correct.
I know mine would be all over me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other discussion? Need a motion to?
I'll make a motion to move this forward to council.
Second.
Okay.
For first reading.
Yep. For first reading. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other discussion? Bring it slow back up here. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Aye. Don't put that back out there. You can read it again. Yes, ma'am. What's that?
Do you
want to cut it? Old business two, update on request from SCDOT.
We have made the request to SCDOT. They've received it and have started working on it. We should get the results on that study and their recommendations in between 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. Perfect. C, update on implementing 4 foot off the Palm on 41st.
So I want to talk about C and also D sort of together, because they, what I'm about to say applies to both.
Both, correct.
So we reached out to SCDOT and reached out to Stantec, and they, SCDOT notified us that the city would not need to get a revised or modified encroachment permit for SCDOT to implement any changes. This is very different from what they have said in the past, which I'm glad. It cuts down the process and eliminates a lot of red tape. We have discussed the recommendations that we talked about last month with Stantec about revising the sign plan. So currently, the sign plan, which is, you all remember that 11 by 17 document that shows each sign on the island, each section, each district on the island based on that parking plan, that is part of the ordinance. However, the ordinance does say that City Council may amend and change and make revisions to that sign plan. However, it doesn't have to be approved or ratified by ordinance, which means that City Council would see a final plan based on the recommendations that would come out of this committee and then approve it by a motion. It doesn't have to go through first reading and second reading, which is another good step. The next step would be for this committee to make recommendations based on the input from staff and the assessment of the 2019 beach parking plan, and then make those recommendations to City Council. If those recommendations come out of this committee, they could be presented in a revised plan for City Council in November, and the signed plan to be ratified. At that point, we would be able to purchase the signs, which we'll talk about how many they are, where would they would be placed. That's what was distributed. distributed to you shortly, a while ago. So from our end, you know, part of our recommendations is to extend the 4 feet off rule, 4 feet off pavement, and also the parallel parking only that currently exists between 21st and 40th Avenue, extend that from 41st to 53rd Avenue.
Okay.
That would mean that we would need to purchase additional, do you have an extra copy?
He's got them all.
Yeah.
So we have this one.
We all get four copies, same thing. Listen.
Oh, okay.
There's two versions of the potential signs.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
So currently, there are to extend parallel parking only and the 4 feet off rule on Palm between 41st and 53rd, we would need to install these two signs on the existing signposts. Currently, there are six in that area that have the beach parking sign.
Mm-hmm.
We would purchase six of these and six of the parallel parking only, and we could have public work staff, sometimes our VSOs have helped with that, install that. We are not including double parking, frankly, because there is not enough space in that section for double parking, and we've already talked how difficult it is to enforce double parking, because officers need to be able to see the citation in order, the violation in order to issue a citation. So in terms of our recommendations, it would be to extend 41st. This is what it would take to be for our police department to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other recommendation that we also talked about last month was to implement parallel parking only on 3rd Avenue, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Okay.
That connect to Ocean Boulevard. By doing some research, talking to Santa, who developed the plan, we believe that that was the intention all along. I'm not quite sure why it never made it. It was never signed.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an issue with some residents there that have enough. It looks like they have enough right-of-way, but they're actually encroaching onto private property. So if we sign parallel parking only, it may reduce the ability, the amount of parking available for beach parking, but it would ensure that people are parking safely and that they're not encroaching onto
people's
property. So to extend, like I said, we would need to purchase six signs. We have money in the budget. We have a provision for signs for the beach parking plan, that we could do that in-house and not have to hire a contractor to purchase, install, and do that like we've done in the past. Because frankly, we're talking about six signs to implement parallel parking only and 4 feet off rule between 41st and 53rd, and then 12 parallel parking only to install on the existing beach parking signs on this end of the island.
Yeah.
So no new posts, it would be signs on existing, new signs on existing signposts.
On both sides of the street? Between 41st and 53rd.
So 41st to 53rd, there's only a beach parking on the land side of Palm.
Right.
On the ocean side of Palm, there's a sidewalk, therefore parking is not
right.
It's prohibited.
That's right.
There's no parking signs on that side. So it would only be on the
Since there's limited space, but on the landward side, wouldn't this essentially cut out that parking?
Not through 53rd. So it becomes very limited after 53rd Avenue because of the swale ditch. So we would not sign that. It would remain as beach parking. Frankly, the people who are currently using that area are contractors related to Wild Dunes. After that, when that construction project is over, we rarely have seen beach parking happening on that end of the island. My recommendation and the recommendation from Stantec is to stay silent on requiring 4 feet off pavement on that section, because we would be in virtually eliminating parking, and we want to have beach parking there to comply with the state's definition of public access.
So what do you think this is going to do from 41st to 53rd?
It would. So the people, we have seen vehicles. Since this year we implemented the parallel parking only between 21st and 40th Avenue, we have seen an increase of beach parking extend down 40th. That we have never seen that before. Usually beach parking would stay in that midsection of Palm Boulevard, but because we virtually reduced the amount of available parking, we have seen that extend.
It's mostly around 42nd, though.
It's around 42nd, 43rd, 44th. So this would allow, this would make people park 4 feet off pavement so that when they opened the car, they would not be.
Yeah. So it's essentially it's going to reduce the parking.
It makes parking safer.
No. I don't think it's going to reduce it. It's going to move them. Because it's resident only on 42nd, a lot of those folks are parking from 42nd probably down to about 45th.
Correct. It's just requiring extending the same regulations from that middle
section. Just
moves
them in a little bit.
It moves in. Yeah, it moves them close away from the pavement.
And one of the problems we're having with this, Jimmy, because a lot of the cars are parking in the first section up 41st all the way up to the gate of Wild Dunes, just beyond it.
Yeah.
Parking so close to the road, people trying to get in and out of those neighborhoods didn't have a line of sight.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They couldn't see around the corner.
Yeah, that's we're addressing that.
And that's basically what it's going to do, moving cars back out of the way. So
Okay. Cars
coming out can actually see up and down the road.
Yeah. So in terms of timeline, if, you know, we can get Stantec to make those quick, I mean, it's just very, very small revisions to the sign plan, present that sign plan to City Council, have them approve it. We can go ahead and order those signs. I'm not sure what the lead time is on getting those signs delivered, but we would not have to go out and get a contractor. We can do that in-house.
Okay.
You don't need a vote, do we?
Yes, I would like a motion.
And I will make a motion to proceed with what Desiree just described.
Okay.
Which is to rely and make revisions to the sign plan to include extending parallel parking only and 4 feet off rule on Palm Boulevard between 41st and 53rd, and implement parallel parking only on the side streets between 3rd and 9th Avenue.
Second.
Excellent. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And did you have anything else for 2020 beach parking?
No.
Did you have any updates about what Mr. Smiley had brought up about the north end?
Ocean?
Yes.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Nothing from the attorney yet.
Okay. But she's looking.
She is, yes.
Okay. She's going. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Desiree, you did comment on the sending the current mapping that we talked about. Could you make sure we all get her? You sent me a link or something some time ago.
The last work product from Stantec? Yes.
So we reached out to a total of 6 companies trying to get quotes for what it would cost to put one out there, and we had 2 respond out of the 6. One of them has actually been involved with several of our cameras, but we're looking at about $8,000. The range ran from $8,000 to $21,000 for a camera. One company gave 2 bids for a lower scaled camera and one for a high grade camera. So one was $17,000, one was $21,000 from that company, and then the other one was $8,000. If we wanted to go forward with it, I spoke with Ms. Fragoso the other day, and I think with the money that we were saving out of the vehicle purchases, we're estimating about $20,000 be saved there. So if it was something that this committee did want to go forward with putting out there, I think we would have the money in the budget. We would just have to have an approval to.
Is there that big a difference in the cameras? Other than price?
No, not really. The price is really the biggest difference, and it's 2 different companies. One we have not used in the past, and one has been involved with most of our cameras here, which honestly makes the most sense to me, somebody who's been.
Is that the lower price?
It is, yes. And probably would explain why it's a little bit cheaper. They're more involved with our system, and they know it a lot better. And that would include coming out, putting the pole in, putting a camera on the pole. What it would not include would be any charges that come from electricity that we have to run to that pole so that we can keep the camera active.
What about encroachment permits and stuff like that? DOT and
it depends on the location.
Mm-hmm. I think we'd have to look at that part. We have not looked at where we're putting it just yet. Obviously, if we could find a pole that's got power to it that we can connect to, that would be most ideal.
Yeah, that would be our first choice.
So is encroachment, right?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if solar would work.
It could work. We didn't budget for solar for it.
If there's no other option.
But if there is no other option, that's something we could look into. Solar might be a little less reliable than just running electricity, though.
Yeah.
I think if it's something that the committee decides to move forward on, then we will sit down and figure out where the best place to put it so that we can get the best view for what we're trying to find here to make sure that we're ensuring that all of our people that are going out there are safe and that we're catching all that area that's of our biggest concern while costing the least amount possible.
Right.
And if we can avoid an encroachment permit, we would do that. But if not, then we'll get started on that.
I will say this is an unbudgeted expenditure. Mm-hmm. If, like Chief Cornett was saying, we have some funds available because we came under budget for the purchase of the vehicles. So we would have some funds there that could be used to this end. I would recommend, if the committee is of a mind to make a recommendation to Ways and Means for discussion, I would recommend a not to exceed number, maybe $10,000, not to exceed $10,000, because there are some ancillary costs associated with getting power and getting getting it functional that we may not know right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, the other option is to put it in the committee's wish list, I guess, for FY21 budget. Those are the two options available.
This is the one of the highest rescue areas on the island, right?
It's busy.
It's busy.
Mostly we get people out of the water before anything happens.
But and you might get even more out of the water before it happens if you had a camera, right?
Yeah, usually it's drive-bys, people call in.
Yeah.
Now, prior to that sandbar being there, we did have like 13 deaths, people getting swept out to sea, people being ankle-deep water.
Well, we need a motion.
If we want to move it forward, we would definitely have to have a motion.
I'll make a motion to move it forward.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Could you specify what the motion is?
Motion to not exceed $10,000 to continue investigation with putting any camera in and any appropriate encroachment permits and a power.
Okay. Any discussion? Jimmy, you have any discussion? I kind of get some hesitation just the fact that it's not a budgeted item. The normal process would be to put it in our budget, work session and allow us to work on that. I mean, we're fortunate enough to have cost savings, but I like cost savings.
Well, as much so, moving it forward is finding out what it costs and the practicality and all that. It doesn't mean we necessarily have to spend the money either. So.
Right. No, at this point. I mean, we definitely have to have...
We would be prepared with what to put in the budget if we want to.
If that's the route, if that's the route we'll take, then yes. I think we can do that and figure out what those costs would be, but try and nail it down some more. But like you said, right now it's not to exceed
$10,000. And this would come forward to Ways and Means for approval.
Correct.
But that would be based on this year's budget.
Correct. Yes.
To move forward. Because we have pricing. We know it's roughly $8,000. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot. We don't have pricing on what the installation would be. I think it does include installation, but
it does.
Additional costs related
power,
to power, mm-hmm. which are typically not, they wouldn't exceed that. But
Chief Graham's idea, that solar sign near my house is rarely down due to solar.
And there would be little, if we could do solar, there would be little impact on that area that would block your solar panel from drawing from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So. The one that's on the connector has been up there since about 2002, give or take. And we did have a problem that we had a hard time resolving at one point, and Highway Department did help us out. The last time it turned out to be nothing more than a battery. So we've been fortunate that it was good equipment going in. And so we've had, from time to time, we do have to do some maintenance on it, but it's been minimal. And the thing's getting kind of old and it's still working great.
Yeah, if council approves the funds, then we would, at staff level, we would look into what the best practical approach would be for the camera. We just need the funds approved.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is an unbudgeted expenditure.
Okay.
So we got a motion and a second.
Yep. Motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Forever. Those go to ways and means. Update on True Grid.
All right, so True Grid. I need to go back and reach out to some of the contractors that we had reached out earlier this summer to get a sample installation. Again, y'all remember we brought in a sample of a grid-like, what do you call it?
Surface.
Mm-hmm. To potentially use to stabilize the shoulders on Palm Boulevard. They have offered to provide the city at no cost a sample installation of up to four parking spaces, and we had identified a location on Palm Boulevard around between 25th and 26th Avenue. In our court was to get a contractor provide us some pricing for the actual installation, although the product would be at no cost to the city, the installation would not be. We frankly put it aside on the summer because we really couldn't do much there, so I'll bring this back up and follow up on some different pricing so that we can get at least three or four to choose from and move from there.
And we're all good with DOT and everything?
Correct, yes. Oh. We did meet with SADOT,
yep.
And they liked the product, they
mm-hmm.
approved it,
mm-hmm.
and we would just need very simple plans submitted to them for...
Just a point of clarity, are we getting a price on what it would cost for four parking places? Where that could be really low, or are we getting a price if we were to move forward with a project where whoever that contractor is giving us a broader view of the real cost?
Well, they could give us the cost for maybe one block, and that we could extrapolate that to what that would mean for the entire view of Palm Boulevard.
And with the false sense of
hope
that four parking places are real cheap.
It will be, obviously there's going to be a cost associated with it, but an implementation of this material lends itself for a phased approach,
mm-hmm.
which would be something that I think the committee would consider once we feel ready, I guess, moving in that direction.
The other thing, just informationally, it'd be interesting to know what the cost savings are that are the offset. You know, what do we actually spend on doing
mm-hmm.
the lines as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, good. New business. Just update on our, obviously we're still dealing with the malware intrusion, how we're doing with that.
All right, so I'll give you a comprehensive,
mm-hmm.
I'll try to give you a comprehensive update, and I have some notes to help me, because I'm not an IT expert, but I do have our IT provider, Joe Scheiber, here with me in case y'all have any technical questions that I can't answer. Well, as you all know, for many, many years, the city had a piecemeal solution when it comes to IT for
mm-hmm.
whatever reason. And the same thing existed for antivirus softwares for each machine and our servers. So having multiple installs of different antivirus software systems, what means is that they prevent each of them working effectively. So we were in the process of transitioning to a more comprehensive threat adaptive software for all of our servers and all of our computers, all of what they call endpoints. When the malware intrusion event occurred last month, all servers and machines were being replaced with this piece of software that's supposed to be very protective, and currently we have them on all computers and it's working perfectly. But at that point, we were going through that process of installing them in each machine. So a virus called TrickBot attempted to install one of the servers. Because Panda had been installed in the servers, it caught it and it quarantined it. But what happened was that virus then started hopping around the network and found computers that were not properly protected because they had different antivirus softwares installed and they weren't talking to each other. And it got in that way. It got in through an unprotected computer. Of the total machines that could have been infected, which I think would have been 82, 83, only 12 got infected. So when we learned of the intrusion that morning, we instructed everybody to shut everything down, which really helped stop what could have been something a lot worse, a worse infection. As soon as we noted that there was a virus in some computers, again, we contacted our IT company. They came on site immediately. We shut everything down. We also contacted, obviously, the city attorney. We contacted state and federal agencies. Then they started an active investigation, which is still ongoing. We contacted our insurance. We notified the community about a malware intrusion, just to make people aware. We did have some downtime at City Hall because there were a period of time where we didn't have access to our computers. Well, our IT company came on site to try to stop the intrusion, stop the infection, and start mitigating efforts. We also had to replace several computers. We had to wipe everything down from our servers, which meant that we had to restore all of the data from our cloud-based backup, which is something that we have since learned is not sufficient. And we're moving into a more comprehensive backup approach, where it's not only going to be backup, but it's also going to be local backups, or physical local backups. Which we're already in the process of acquiring. We've already acquired one, and we'll also acquire a second one, a redundant system that's going to be off-site.
Okay.
When we started trying to restore all of the data to our servers, we learned that the city's internet provider was, 10 megabytes per second?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right approach?
10 megabits per second.
Too small,
obviously. We contacted our internet service provider and asked them to enhance that to 100. Because of red tape, because of their business practices and policies, that took about a week to complete. So that was part of the reason why it took so long for us to restore all of our data back to our financial software, RMS, police department.
Who do we use for internet?
It's their in-state contract is
Spirit,
mm-hmm. Spirit, okay. And they partner with AT&T. So that part of the delay in us getting back up and running was due to our internet and not having any physical backups, mm-hmm. and having everything to be downloaded from the cloud. Mm-hmm. When we learned that was going to be the case, we requested a physical backup from Barracuda, which is our provider for the cloud,
mm-hmm.
and they overnighted a physical backup of all of our server data, but because of the internet, so
mm-hmm.
end of the story, our internet is now, should be up to standard, and all of our servers have been restored. During that time, we also engaged with a cybersecurity firm, which they're on state contract, but they work for the State House and the General Assembly, and they were recommended by our insurance company and by other municipalities that also had to deal with the same situation, because it was not only us. The week prior to our attack, we had the city of Camden also had the same thing happen to them, and this is happening all over the country, I'm sure.
Ransomware.
We hired them to conduct some risk assessment and vulnerability assessments, and the good news is they weren't able to penetrate our firewall after what our IT had done. They weren't able to penetrate our firewall. They did find some risks and some critical issues that had to be addressed, and since as of today, those critical issues have been addressed by our we have also... We have installed this adaptive threat panda software into all of our machines. So currently everything is in lock mode. We have access, everything's been cleaned, everything's been wiped, and everything's in lock mode, which makes some of our operations a little difficult, because that means that there are some websites that we can't access until they've been whitelisted.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that's crucial for our operation is working. The only three things that are still in the process of being resolved is our court software. It's a court software. You might see it in the budget. It's forecasted to be replaced in FY20. We may have to speed that up because it's just such an old program that it does not support the same level of data restoration, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is we have still not been able to connect to the Consolidated Dispatch and NCIC, because they are requesting proof and documentation from us that they're not exposing themselves to any threat. So that's where the process
because of the malware incident.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. They just want to make sure, yep. And we've been providing that, and the fact right. that we've hired a cybersecurity firm, and they mm-hmm. have done additional scans and ensure that, you know, they haven't been able to penetrate, we believe should be enough for them to feel confident to have okay. us connected back to the server. So in terms of what are we doing to avoid this from happening again, we're started talking about developing a cybersecurity policy and some training for all employees, just basic stuff, you know, don't click on phishing emails. We're also going to be limiting access people from being able to use USBs. Usually mm-hmm. they tend to be the root of some
device of choice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. some of these issues. So we would be being limiting the people's mm-hmm. ability to do that. Just a couple of other things. Same thing as the data. We realize that, you know, cloud-based backups are mm-hmm. not sufficient. We're moving into a redundant system for cloud backups. And that's it. I think that's
mm-hmm. good job.
Yeah.
Good Lord. This month has been definitely a learning curve. You know, I feel like everybody recognizes that the city has been a little behind when it comes to having a very comprehensive mm-hmm. IT policy. And these things, unfortunately, sometimes have to happen for us to identify where we're lacking. And I think that we have done what we can. Oh, I don't want to comment too much on an ongoing investigation, but mm-hmm. The Secret Service has, if I'm saying something out of turn, please. But they have done some forensic analysis of the servers and what we had, you know, what happened and the intrusion. And although we were attacked, there was no sign of data exfiltration. That means no data had was lost, which is huge. I think this event could have been a lot worse. There are a lot of requirements that the city would need to have to take place if there were signs of data exfiltration, but there's no evidence that supports that. So roughly, I mean, it disrupted City Hall for almost. I mean, it's still. We're still up and run. You know, we're up and running, but we didn't have access to our files for several weeks. Our financial software was the first thing that was restored because people want to get paid and we wanted to run payroll. So that was definitely an incentive mm-hmm. there, yeah. But.
I'll offer the compliment. I was here when it happened.
Yes, you were.
And,
right.
And all the appropriate actions were taken. Donnie came in, mm-hmm. panicked. Desiree ran out of the room, panicked. Everything got shut down immediately, and that's absolutely the right thing to do. Yeah. So it's a credit to what did happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. Well, good.
We hope it does not happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Any other discussion on that? Anybody? Well, thank you. Yeah.
No technical questions?
Yeah.
I was ready for those technical questions.
Okay, thank you so much. No.
The issue with the email, it's separate. It's not related to the malware intrusion.
Right.
We had a license that expired October mm-hmm. 31st, and we had to wait until October 31st to transfer into a different license.
Yeah.
So that's why all of your passwords need to be reset, and we're just moving to a different
okay.
Provider.
Okay.
But just wanted to
yes.
let you all know it's not associated with it. It's just we figured yeah. we were all inconvenienced. We'll be inconvenienced for one more day.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's good. It wasn't as damaging as it could have been. And like with all bad things to happen, in all phases of life, you learn from it.
And we're better for it.
Mm-hmm. And we're much better for it. So mm-hmm. if it ever happens again, it's a school of hard knocks, but,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
it was bound to happen. It was going to happen one day.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's something that a lot of places are dealing with. You
yep.
know, thankfully, we were somewhat protected
right.
in that we had backups. We didn't lose any data. I think we may have lost one day's worth of data that was easily, you know.
Well, I think you did a good job.
Perfect.
Everybody, the whole city.
Yes.
Good.
Yep.
So congratulations.
Okay. Moving on to new business B, discussion of reserve officer program.
So this is not new for Isle of Palms.
No.
No.
We used to have a reserve officer program.
Yes.
I found the old policy on it. And what has led us to this discussion is that Officer Sanders, when he resigned for personal reasons, He asked if he could come back as a reserve officer. It's not that he didn't want to be in law enforcement anymore. This is near and dear to him. He loves Isle of Palms, and basically all this is he's a volunteer. Mm-hmm. Is the only thing it's going to cost us is paying for workers' comp. We've already got his uniforms. We've got the spare car that he would drive. He would not have a take-home car. We would never, even if we grew the reserve officer program, we would not give take-home cars for that, and they would be cost minimal. You know, for him, it's nothing because we've got uniforms. Otherwise, we just have to cut the patches off and throw the uniforms in the trash. So we're actually able to continue using what we've already purchased for him. And they have a minimum hours that they have to work. Because he was already a Class 1 certified officer, he does not have to go through the training. He just rolls right down. After 3 years, if he decides he wants to go back to a Class 1 full certified officer, he can do so. If he doesn't, then he'll have to continue to maintain his reserve officer training. He has to do at least 20 hours a month, any reserve officer does. They also have to do annual training on a monthly basis. So we're going to get the best of the vein here because he already comes to us with experience, and his crime scene investigator experience from Charleston is critical for us and can play a big part in helping us to stay advanced. Now, are there any questions with that? I know I kind of gave a white paper on this. It's a little long, but
yeah, y'all have a white paper that I asked Chief Cornett to develop when we were going through the process of evaluating, reinstating this program. I'm in full support of it. I think it you know, we're having such a hard time recruiting folks, and the ability to keep some of our folks that are really good, that are still interested in serving the Isle of Palms from a volunteer standpoint, I think it's a great idea, and I commend Chief Cornett from coming, you know, forward with that idea to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's a great idea. I remember we used to have previously. Yeah. We actually have one of the firemen.
Yep,
used to be a reserve officer.
Yep.
And then, I think it's a great idea. So you need a motion from the council? I'm from us.
Yes.
Move
so
forward.
We can bring this before.
Make a motion to approve implementation reserve officer program in the State Department.
Perfect. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Perfect. And new business C, last one. Consideration of a resolution authorizing consumption of beer and wine at the Holiday Street Festival. Basically, I don't think it's necessarily just the Holiday Street Festival. I think it's the street festivals in general.
Yeah, we can make that. That's a good.
Basically,
yeah, we can.
You would have to do one for each one.
For each one.
Okay.
Yes.
But the idea
would be
correct.
That we need to have a resolution for these events.
Yeah.
Well, your motion to approve a resolution.
I'll second.
I have an amendment. I'd like to discuss it, if I'm not breaking rules of order. I think Dr. Smiley sent you an email, and I read it, and I was in total agreement with it, as being a veteran myself, of that maybe we could contact some of our local active duty bases, Coast Guard or Navy or Marine Corps, and I think it's fitting in it, and it should happen. At some time during the festival, we acknowledge what happened on December 7th, 1941 with a moment of silence, playing of taps or something, just so it's not just party, 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 but remember the sacrifice. Over, I think it was over 2,600 people died that day in Pearl Harbor. And I'd just like to make a motion that we contact local active duty military, see if they'd like to take part and team up with the VFW, because it is a very solemn occasion.
And I'm not sure that we necessarily need a motion. I mean, Desiree, if you want
to... I've already contacted the VFW to engage them in some, you know, what you just explained, to include that as part of the program.
Right.
I don't think that it's necessary to have a motion to the resolution because
okay. It
only deals with beer and wine, but certainly we recognize the importance and the solemnity of that event and would like to involve the VFW.
I like his idea of broadening a little bit with active duty as well.
Yeah, or even reserves.
Sure.
Just have some military presence here.
And
a moment of silence and hopefully the playing of taps. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
Absolutely.
I like it.
So we got time to look into that and make that happen, hopefully, right, Desiree, with everything you got on your plate?
Sure, we can.
Any of the committee members will be able to take the lead and help you in any way possible.
Happy to.
I know you're busy.
Great, I have an we have an assistant administrator now.
Hello.
I'm going to look at. So
well, I would.
We got it.
I prefer you contact Coast Guard first.
Through yesterday.
Yeah.
we'll do everything we can.
They have an honor code.
Simple Ronis.
Yeah, they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have a motion on the floor.
Yeah, we do have a motion.
Yeah.
It was
second. He seconded.
I seconded.
It's just that little speech I made is not necessary in the motion at all.
Correct.
It's just a simple motion to approve this.
Okay. Yes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Perfect. Yeah. Moving on to reports. Keep bringing them.
Short and sweet.
Yes.
So we have very little data.
Okay. Yes.
You too. Anyhow. What you do have is a one page, and I think this
I've
is
done
a,
this, yeah.
Okay.
We all got it right.
All right, so on the what you're looking at, where it says incident type, and then it says 1 and 2, that's district 1, district 2. That's district 1, district 2. So we did have a total of 76 calls for the month of October. We're down a little over 12% from last year at this exact same time. We had 2 fire calls, 42 EMS calls, 10 public relations, a lot to do with fire prevention, 22 other. Part of what's going on with us right now is the EMS reports, the fire reports, and the use of our MDTs, which is how we get our information when we responded to calls, and all that's in the process of being fixed. So, any questions?
It's amazing how busy you are on hump day. You know, I guess everybody's tired of the week. Something's going on there.
Perfect.
No, I like the report.
Yeah.
Good. Chief?
I don't have a report for you this month on paper. We my computer actually just came back up last week.
Okay.
So we're still getting all that hammered out. But what I can tell you is there are no significant events that I can think of that came out of the last month. And our investigators are helping to cover the road. When we're short-staffed a little bit here and there, I can tell you we've been moving through the hiring process, getting some people through background checks to kind of fill some of those patrol spots that we have vacant right now. And I think that's it. Unless somebody's got any questions.
How's all our calls for Wild Dunes, construction hotel, concrete trucks, stuff like that?
We had the first day that they brought the concrete trucks in, we had some calls that day. I know Desiree spoke with them. And I went personally down to the site and attempted to make contact and make contact with the only poor soul that was in the office that day. And we discussed the noise violations. However, we did get another call this past week in reference to it again. I got an email about the beeping of the trucks that they got there earlier and they were backing up. We communicated with them that setting up is not a violation. It's when the noise kicks in that the violation comes in. But I thought I made it clear that the beeping of the trucks, that is definitely going to be something that would wake anybody up. So I will go back down myself and have a conversation with them and hopefully catch more than one person in the office when I do so. But that's it other than those. Now, we did get a couple calls in reference to Citadel Beach House debris cleanup, and we've already talked about that. I think that's been addressed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Okay. Miscellaneous business, next meeting date? Yeah.
So the next meeting would be in January, and I would recommend, that's crazy, right? This year is over.
Scratch your head.
In the past, every committee would set up a date, and that's what we've been doing, a set date and set time to have the meetings. We have tried to have committee meetings during the first week of the month. And basically, that was a request of the former city clerk, so that she would have enough time to prepare the minutes, so that they would be ready for the city council meeting. Currently, the turnaround for the minutes, it's sometimes less than 24 hours. So so that's not that's not an issue anymore. And we have seen how having the meeting on the first week doesn't allow our departments to develop the reports. So if it's okay with the committee, we want to set up, I don't know if the committees will change the membership of the committee, however, we always try to set up the date for the meetings early on so that they could be posted appropriately for January. And that's what I would like for the committee to talk about, a different date, maybe on the second week of the month.
How about the second Monday in the month?
That's
you
fine.
Can do that.
Okay.
Same time.
9 a.m.
Perfect. Sounds
good.
Okay. Motion
to
adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
All right.
Thank you. We adjourned at
9:51.
Thank you.
Good job, Brian. See y'all later.